You're listening
to Welcome to Comics, episode number 134. This week, we talk about butts, buttocks, ass, bum, tush. Visit WelcomeToComics.com. Hear past episodes, see what we're reading next, or send us feedback. This show is supported by listeners like you. Access bonus episodes by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now, the cast begins. I have general butt discussion.
Cool. I'm down. Yeah.
Okay.
I have no idea what direction this is going to go. If we're going to be like, just...
I feel like this... I just want to go on the record and say I feel like this is a terrible idea.
Same.
Okay. I mean, we don't have to... I mean, it's filler back stuff. I don't know.
I think that there's no way that I, as a white man, can talk about this in a way that is, that won't come off as terrible.
See, my thought was it'd probably end up joke related. I was thinking Jen would pick Mogo 1 through 5.
Oh, I was actually gonna do, I was gonna start with Hawkeye.
Oh, you were gonna actually do a butt list?
That's what I was doing too. Yeah,
and then go to Ego and then Mogo.
Okay.
So yeah, mine is still a joke list. The Hawkeye one is not real. It's not a specific, but it's a reaction to the Hawkeye initiative.
See, and I googled the most intelligent women in comics, and I was going to be like, because that butt is connected to a rational, intelligent woman who deserves respect. So my list is like Jennifer Walters, Kimio Hoshi, which is Dr. Light, Lois Lane, Barbara Gordon, Amanda Waller. Like, just the most intelligent, powerful people.
Okay.
I was like, we'll do that. I don't want to, you know. Because I agree with you, David. Like, there's not... Like, this was a listener suggestion to talk about the best butts in comics, but I'm like...
No. This was Nick Wester's suggestion, and I hope that... And I felt like he should be here for this train wreck.
I kind of second David.
Yeah, I know.
This was all Nick.
I tried to get him, but he, like... He wakes up at, like, fucking 4 a.m. or some stupid bullshit, and, like, it'd be impossible to get him on without waking Jen up at 3 a.m., I don't want to do that for talking about butts.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess if we were going to slide this into the list of episodes, this would be episode 134 of Atomic Powered Supercast. This was before the rebrand, right? When did that happen? Sure. That was at 200, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was like 2 fucking years ago now. I've completely lost count. That was 2 years ago. That was before I had a kid. Wow. Sorry. That's weird. For me.
Yeah, we've been doing this a while.
So this will be a short episode. Cause this is weird. And, yeah. No, I'm there with you, David. I was like, I don't know. Cause one of the other things I was thinking, I could go like the list of, like, the most objectified ones. So, like, I had Catwoman because of that stupid Frank Cho cover. Or no, it wasn't Frank Cho. Who drew that cover where she's, like, coming down and they wanted boobs and butt in the same picture with her coming down?
See, that was one of the ones I was going to talk about because it's controversial.
Yeah.
Well, it's Milo Manara.
That's right, yeah. Who, and Frank Cho's the one who keeps parodying it over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, we could take that angle. I don't know. Put my butt on there.
Like, I think as long as it's not in the context of like this ass so hot, then there's nothing.
or the other way you could do it, top five butts in comics. You could do the creators and just have your top five favorite creators because their butts are in comics industry. So like, whether it be Brian K. Vaughan, Jack Kirby.
Okay.
I appreciate that I can hear David's discomfort so well, his disdain for this.
Well, I'm sorry. I just am kind of not that comfortable doing this.
I hear you. Well, what butt talk did you have, Jen?
I mean, it was only those three that I listed earlier. It's mostly satirical. No, it's entirely satirical.
Well, so, like, I was going to talk about, like, well, the Nicola Scott one. Or, excuse me. I was going to talk about the Milo Manara cover, the Nicola Scott Nightwing.
Yeah.
But, because that's, like, the butt of comics to me.
Yeah. Yeah, this got posted, and the first response was like, well, that's easy. All five answers are Nightwing, of course. And I'm like, that's, like, two frames. And it's, I mean, it's the meme, but, like, I don't know.
But it's, like, it's infamous.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting, and it's worth bringing up. Nicola Scott drew that panel, and that is one of the go-to, like, finger-pointing of, comics can objectify men, too. Why don't we do it more often? It is a go-to example for that kind of a discussion, too.
I could talk about that. Definitely.
I think we'll go ahead.
Is this like the actual episode, or are we just like prep? Okay.
No. What the hell?
Like, are
what
we
the
just hell? Like?
I think we're in the episode now.
We're in too deep.
Yeah. We're.
Jeez.
Andy.
5 minutes. It took 5 minutes to get to a butt joke.
It wasn't intentional. That was all you. Yeah. Okay, I guess I should. So I was gonna do a backwards countdown for butts, and I will just start because mine ties into that. And I have three, and number three is Hawkeye, because if that Catwoman cover, I think is like Catwoman number two of the New 52, something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
If that is the butt that launched 1,000 angry Tumblr posts, then Hawkeye's butt is the Troy in this analogy. And first off, like, I actually think the Hawkeye initiative is incredibly amusing because, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's this thing where people do fan art, and some, you know, professional comics artists have also chipped into this, where they draw Hawkeye in these ridiculous poses where no matter what angle he's at, you can still see his butt. And he ends up in, like, the most absurd contortions. And the reason I like this, I mean, it's a really good parody of a problem in comics where you see dudes kind of just standing there looking manly and burly, but then every, like, oh, the very famous Avengers movie poster for the first movie, or I think it was the first one, for some reason, Black Widow is, like, facing away from the viewer,
mm-hmm.
and turned. So everyone else is like kind of standing there looking heroic, but for Black Widow, she's turned so you can see her butt.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Scarlett Johansson is a lovely lady, but it was a really weird choice. It totally got called out, and it was clear that they just wanted you to know that Scarlett Johansson had a nice butt, and that was one of the draws of going to this movie. Which is creepy, but on the flip side, so the Hawkeye Initiative is basically like this satirical thing of like, well, what if we did this to dudes? And what's so brilliant about it is that in so much of comics, you actually get this really objectified view of guys, right? Like you see like these super muscly, burly guys in muscly, burly poses. Mm-hmm. It puts forth this like one really specific view of masculinity. But then that's considered okay. And what's weird to me personally is that it's considered not only okay by a lot of readers, but people who talk about the objectification of women are like kind of ignoring this fact of it. So the super interesting part to me, and I don't know if I actually have a point, I just think this is fascinating, is that for the Hawkeye Initiative, they posed guys, not just Hawkeye, but like other male superheroes in these really quote-unquote feminized poses. And I think that's the interesting part to me, that for it to be like really poignant and show like how ridiculously absurd this is, that you know, you have to put male heroes in what female heroes are, like the poses female heroes are normally drawn as. But then if you put female heroes in the male hero poses, they don't look absurd. So, like, it's kind of this extra step where we see this ridiculosity where women contort in all these different ways so readers can see their body parts. So there's like an extra level of objectification of women in comics. And I don't know, it's just like the weirdest thing how people draw the two sexes like that. And as I said, I don't know if I have a point, but it is just, like, it's a really good call out, basically.
It's also the statement that, like, you can draw the muscular, you know, what was it, Batman Odyssey?
Yes.
you can draw hot tub Batman showing, you know, nipples and butt in the same frame, and it's ridiculous. But what makes it ridiculous and what makes it funny looking is that, so often in comics, when you draw women, they're drawn from like a position of submission and weakness, whereas men aren't. And like, it's so weird to see Batman drawn in a way that looks submissive or weak. But it's not weird to see Wonder Woman look dominant. It's just not. It's not weird to see Supergirl look dominant because she's fucking powerful. Like, it's not weird to see super powerful or heroic people in dominant poses, but it is really weird to see the men for some reason, but not the women, because that's just the way we draw women in comics. I mean, I think that's what the Hawkeye Initiative points out. Like, it's not even necessarily, like, the contortion is the joke, but the actual commentary is the, why necessarily is it so weird to see him like this, but why is it not something you immediately see as weird to see the female hairs? Like, we should see, like, it should be weird to see Wonder Woman in that pose, just as much as it's weird to see Hawkeye.
You know, the extra funny thing about it, too, is I would argue Hawkeye is one of the less, like, hyper-masculine comics characters.
Oh, yeah, especially
compared
the
to Batman or Superman.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Matt Fraction Hawkeye is so excellent. But, yeah, like, compared to, like, Batman, or especially going back to Batman Odyssey, I think that's the one where Batman's, like, standing in front of a hostage eating a banana sexily while wielding an axe so he can, like, murder his hostage, right? Like,
yeah. Yes. And he also had those, like, monologues at the beginning where he was, like, shirtless.
Yes.
Except for his... He had the cowl on.
Yeah, O'Neil that Adams. Happened.
I love O'Neil Adams.
Oh, so
did
bad,
part two
dude.
Of that ever come out?
I think it did.
Okay.
I never read it, but... Oh, God.
We should have read that instead of doing a butt episode. But, you know, my daughter's out of daycare all week, and I have not been at work, so I wouldn't have been able to read on my lunch break anyway, but this is the only way we can get an episode out this week. So if this is what we got to do, this is what we got to do. Which, and I never explained, because we just kind of rolled into the discussion. So this is episode 134, because I went back and redid the archive page for the website and realized that we never actually published in episode 134, and I wanted to fix that before next week we did episode 300, because it would feel weird to me to put out episode 300 when we've only done 299. So I wanted to rectify that. That's what we're doing today, but, like, I didn't have time to read a comic, and kind of want to take a break because we've done 300 of these. So, getting back to what you were talking about, Jen, I do think that it's, I think it helps that he's not super masculine, because then he can actually fit, like, if you try to draw Superman in that way, like, there's just certain poses that a guy that brawny can't do, which I know, like, is the whole thing, like, with Catwoman and Spider-Woman on these covers, like, they just can't contort that way, but, like, with him, he's a slender enough person that you'd believe he might be able... And he was an acrobat, too, right? Wasn't that his thing? Like, he's basically the Robin kind of story?
Hawkeye?
Yeah. Wasn't he an acrobat?
Yeah,
he's an acrobat or something. So, like, for him to be flexible and stuff is all within character. So it makes the commentary. I do like that's the focus.
The other character who's subjected to this is Nightwing.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson. And again, like, not a... Well, he gets pretty hyper-masculine, like super, super masculine, like later in, especially when he goes like solo. But earlier Nightwing, he's also one of the less burly man characters. So I think some of it has to do with flexibility, but also some of it has to do with you need maybe not as well-known a character for the absurdity to work. Because I think the satire gets like really on the nose if you put Superman in a strange compromising pose. But then if you take like, I mean, Hawkeye's kind of like a comic relief guy in the Avengers movie too, yeah. Right? You know, you take someone who's a little funnier, maybe a little less well known, and it's subtle enough that it's easier to see the point, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think probably because it would, if people use somebody like super popular and well known to the public outside of normal like comic book readers, it would draw the wrong kind of attention. I mean, look at when Captain America became a Hydra agent for. I mean, all these people come out of the woodwork and they're like, "Oh my God, Captain America's a blah, blah, blah." It's like, dude, have you read a comic in the last, like, ever? This kind of stuff happens constantly.
My husband did that. He's never read a Captain America comic, and he comes out ranting about it. I'm like, chill out.
You didn't say anything when Dr. Octopus took over Peter Parker's brain?
Yeah, he didn't know about that. And yeah. I was like, this happens all the time. It's okay. It's, I mean, it's A-okay.
Because it didn't turn Peter into a Nazi. I think that's what people were flipping out over.
Yeah, I mean...
if it was, like, the Captain America initiative, you know, and it was weird butt poses of Captain America, I think people would flip out. And by people, I mean people who don't actually care about comics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's why it's good that it's Hawkeye.
I think the biggest flip outers would be the bulk of Tumblr. Because Tumblr likes, the, you know, there's Tumblr darlings and stuff, but I get the feeling a lot of people on Tumblr have read some comics and are, you know, into it. And I don't mean like check credentials or anything, but I don't want to be the gatekeeping kind of person. If you look at a lot of Tumblr posts, I get the feeling a lot of these people don't read the stuff. They just kind of make the comments. Because then you see, like, the fifth comment down is the person who actually read it making the correction, being like, you people are dumb, right? You know that? Like, there was a whole comment thread on somebody calling out. Somebody was like, somebody had done a cosplay of, what is her name? From Amikami Girls, the Joker character. Mad Moxie, I think it is.
Mm. No, Mad Moxie's a character from Borderlands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, what is that character? Dula Dent.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was. And somebody had, like, you know, there was, like, five comments long talking about, oh, cosplay is so fucking stupid, such an attention grabber, you know, reverse gender steampunk Joker. What do you gotta, you know, how desperate are you? And it's like, no, bro. That's actually a character from a really good comic that was web-released. Like, there's... Like, it takes a while. So I get the feeling, like, if it was... I think you're right, David. If it was, like, Captain America, you would have gotten a lot of posts from those people who are just like, oh, this is bullshit. And I think that's a lot of what the reaction is those people who are like, I read a comic 15 years ago. I have a strong opinion. And I like the MCU.
Like, everyone on the internet has a strong opinion.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what the internet's for.
Yeah. That and porn.
Mm-hmm. Although porn, I guess... is a strong opinion in and of itself.
That's a different discussion for another day.
That made no sense.
So, and actually, I was gonna shift and talk about the way that Jennifer Walter, She-Hulk, is portrayed. Because we talk about, like, portraying dominance and strength in male characters, but not in female. And she's a really interesting one, because her pose is always, like, the typical She-Hulk pose is a feminine position, like laying down on a beach reading a book, but also casually lifting like a 2,000-pound barbell because She-Hulk. And I don't know. There's probably some commentary that somebody smarter than me out there can make about how that's a gender thing. I don't know. I was thinking about that, and that is something that's uniquely She-Hulk in a kind of way that would feel weird if somebody else had done it.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. I mean, I think it's different than like other super strong female characters like Power Girl or Supergirl, because She-Hulk is supposed to be, I mean, she's a spin-off of the Hulk.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that more than any other character, the Hulk epitomizes strength, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause Superman has a lot of other stuff going on. But what's great about about Jennifer Walters as a character is that there's this like juxtaposition of this, of the Hulk basically, and this super intelligent, woman lawyer. And I think that's what makes, like you said, Andy, with the cover where she's doing like, sometimes she's doing lawyery stuff or like super feminine stuff, but also being the Hulk.
Yeah, and I think it also comes back to the, I mean, she's She-Hulking and loving it, you know, like the other thing that's in those covers is, you know, super buff dudes gawking at her display of strength, you know, and I think there's like a teasing thing in there that like it undermines, no matter how strong you show her to be, it undermines it when you have dudes gawking at her. Oh, the woman can do this, that, and the other, like. And I know it's not just because she's a woman. It's because it's a 2,000-pound barbell or something stupid where the bar would actually break if you really had that much weight on it, kind of a thing. Like, just multiple levels of physics being broken here. But, like, there's something like the... I think it's because that idea of She-Hulk and loving it, or... I'm having a really hard time articulating this, but it reminds me of, like, Sex and the City kind of a thing. And in a way that's almost uniquely feminine, too. But not in the strong way that it's trying to portray. I don't know.
I've never seen Sex and the City, so I'm trying to like pull this together in my head.
I honestly haven't either.
Okay.
But, you know, commercials.
And I'm the only one.
Are you? Is it any good?
I had an ex-girlfriend who loved it, and so I've seen quite a bit of it. Yeah, it's fine, I guess. You can get sucked into it.
Okay.
Yeah, my wife was watching, The Good Witch? I don't know, some random thing. I was like, I'm rooting for this character. I'm like, what the fuck do I care about any of the characters on this show?
Well, that's what happens a lot of times. Lucia will be watching something and I'll get sucked into it, like Jane the Virgin or Ugly Betty. Both of those shows, I was like, I got so emotionally invested in them, and like I was getting angry when things were happening that I felt should not have gone a certain way. I was like, I can't even watch this. This is like unrealistic.
The other thing I want to say, so my list was, I was picking female heroes that are also very intelligent and strong as women and not just strong as like superheroes. So my list was Jennifer Walters, Emma Frost, who has like degrees in biochem, education, genetics. She's constantly portrayed as being super smart. Kimi Yohoshi, who is Dr. Light, not the rape one, but the good one. And she's like, she's like, no, and I wish that was a joke. She's like just a super physicist with lights and all kinds of things. So she's incredibly smart. Lois Lane, fucking multiple Pulitzer Prize winner. Barbara Gordon, you know, because Oracle. And Amanda Waller, because she's, I think, the strongest character, I'll say.
The most badass person in the whole DC universe?
Yes, yeah, I think so. That was my list. But what I'm noticing going down this list, right, Emma Frost and Kimi Yohoshi, I think, fit the bill of a typical superhero woman, especially Emma Frost. But, I mean, Emma Frost is an extreme. Also, I think Emma Frost is up there with the extreme costume stuff that Power Girl is. Kimi Yohoshi, though, I think is kind of a lesser-known character. Lois Lane isn't a hero, unless you count Rebirth, and sometimes she's heroic-ish. But I'm looking at, like, Barbara Gordon and Amanda Waller, who are probably the two on this that are most known for being smart and capable, are also the least physically objectified. I mean, Barbara Gordon, when she's Oracle, and Birds of Prey is when I'm thinking of the version. Like, that's when I think Barbara Gordon. I don't think Batgirl. I think of Oracle. There's a level of objectification that goes on there in the art, because you know, it's Chuck Dixon, I think, did that art, and he just draws cheesecake everywhere. and Amanda Waller, I don't think either one of them fit traditional roles of physical attraction in comics, one being disabled and the other one being overweight. And I think it's interesting. I think when I think about strong, intelligent characters in comics, a lot of them are outside that typical hero mold. But that might be me reading into it too much more, because the other thing is, heroes, you know, there's the traditional thing of, well, it's the evil genius and then the Boy Scout Superman. Like, why does Superman gotta be dumb? Why can't the evil genius be a good guy? Sometimes yeah. Being smart is good. So maybe I'm reading into it too much.
Your list actually made me consider something, because I think that you're not reading into it too much, and there's an interesting thing going on there. I'm going to pick Emma Frost as the contrast, because I kind of know her best out of the ones you listed, compared to Barbara Gordon and Amanda Waller. And it's the heroes, I think in part it's because heroes have to be archetypes in a lot of ways, because, you know, you're doing all these runs, different universes, different reboots, and you still need to have kind of this, like, core figure. But it seems like, especially with female heroes, it's pick one. You get to be beautiful or you get to be smart. And obviously Emma Frost is both, but I think we more often see her in comics, at least the X-Men comics I've read, portrayed as like sexy. She's kind of conniving and beautiful and very busty. But, and you know, she's an intelligent hero because she is able to kind of like strategically, mentally outmaneuver Professor Xavier at times. Like, so you know she has the brains, but the fact, like, oh, she has degrees, she's really educated, she is, you know, very smart. It's you get that one facet of her or the other, and there's a thing going on there where I think when you see Batgirl, like, Batgirl is smart, but Oracle is like crazy level genius. And part of that is because as Oracle, she's sitting in that clock tower and she's focusing on the mental task at hand, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't have someone shooting at you to distract you, you're obviously going to be able to sit down and think out a situation better. Same with Amanda Waller. Like, she's in the command center. She gets to give the orders and she doesn't have the problem necessarily of being in the middle of the action. But I think there's this kind of definitive line where a female hero gets to be very beautiful in a traditional, like, Western comics sense, or she gets to be very intelligent in a traditional Western comics sense. And we see the blending, but it's never, like, as clearly defined, like Batman. Right, world's greatest detective. He's also, for some reason, super strong and trained in martial arts. And he's, like, crazy smart. And he kind of has, like, this whole thing going on. And people say, like, oh, Superman thinks faster than the average man. Or, you know, like, I think it's just wrapped up for a lot of the big-name male heroes. Obviously, we also get, like, you know, brawny or, like, strong male heroes who are dumb as bricks. Like, Hal Jordan is Booster not... Gold. Booster Gold, yes. like, these guys are not, you know, winning any Nobel Prizes in physics anytime soon. But on the flip side, like, I think we get more of a division. A woman in comics tends to fill a role. And as I said at the start, like, part of it is the archetyping, right? You can only have so many heroes that can do it all. And I think we kind of get Wonder Woman in there. She's really bright. But, you know, you start breaking away from that main trio, and you can't just have everyone be, like, super smart and super strong and super beautiful. It gets really boring. But it's something I think that is done a little more with ladies. See, but I guess.
And you.
I was
you
just gonna.
Go. You go.
Sorry. I was just gonna say, like, I think with dudes, like you said, it's either the super smart villain, you know, plotting or not. So, like, maybe there is, like, even a stronger line with guys, but I don't know. I'd have to read a lot more to decide.
Yeah, and I think the flip side of it, I mean, I brought up Booster Gold as the dumb guy who's just brawny. The other side is Blue Beetle, who is got the pot belly, but is really smart and resourceful and is a good dude. But you brought up Wonder Woman as the example who has it all. One of the few female characters who seems to have it all. But then I think even that is not quite what we want, because it's not always attributed to her. Because she has the wisdom granted by Athena. She has the strength granted by Blah. Oftentimes in the telling of Wonder Woman, her powers and her abilities and her intelligence and her wisdom is not necessarily attributed to Diana Prince so much as it is the gods and goddesses who give her those powers. So it's like even then it kind of takes it away a little.
But she knows how to use them effectively, yeah. Right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, and to a certain extent, like, I mean, Superman's, you know, his powers are only attributed to the fact that he's a yellow sunlight battery, whatever bullshit. You know, at a certain level, I mean, you can do analysis of comics and have a good time talking about it, but then when you get to a certain level, it's like, nothing's important. But yeah, I mean, she does. She's the one who pulls it together and does it the way it needs to get done.
Yeah, I mean, she's the one who is, she's choosing to use the gifts she's given in a way that's beneficial to other people. She's choosing to be a hero. Because, yes. I mean, the Olympian gods who give her these powers could do it, but they chose not to be heroes or do heroic things. And I think that's the difference, right? And that's true about any superhero, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. David, do you have a butt list, or did you just say, fuck this?
So, no, I made a list, but I didn't know. I thought it was going to be, like, super serious. So my list was the Nicola Scott...
Nightwing.
Nightwing, which we kind of talked about already.
Yeah.
It was also the Milo Manara... Spider-Woman number one variant cover, which we also talked about. And then I couldn't think of a third one. Well, I didn't really like look that hard, to be honest. Let me see. I had it on my phone.
What were some more controversial covers? I mean, there was the Catwoman one.
There's a lot of Catwoman ones. There's that one where she's like, it's not really a butt one. It's the one where she's, like, laying down and it's, like, super cleavagey. Oh, no, there is one. It's one a Catwoman number zero.
Yeah, the New 52, right?
And that's another one similar to the Spider-Woman one where the pose she's in is, like, impossible.
Yeah, she has no spine. No upper back at all.
You know who actually has a good butt and kind of shows it off? Is Deadpool.
Yeah.
Particularly Ryan Reynolds' portrayal of Deadpool.
That's true.
Oh, man.
And I think that is one way to go, that way they're like, see, look at, you know, I think it's in some way similar to the Hawkeye Initiative, right, where they're trying to be silly about this objectification thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, well, the Hawkeye one is silly, but... That's not the only thing. I think that with Deadpool, it's more about being silly.
And I mean, that's Deadpool. Yeah, and I think when you start getting into this stuff, we kind of wade into the bigger gender discussion that you were like, I don't know if I want to do, like, we have a place to talk here. Because it is like...
It's not that I don't want to have that kind of discussion. I feel like I'm not adequately prepared to have that discussion right now.
I feel like a dumb podcast about comics is not necessarily the forum people are going to go to either.
No.
But, like, I feel like once you get to talking about, like, Deadpool and his butt and Hawkeye Initiative and that butt, like, you get into the discussion of, well, why is it every time that the male objectification is a joke, but the female objectification is the just way of the world? Like, that's the bigger discussion that we don't want to get to. Cause,
right.
Because there's other shows for that. And that's just what starts to feel real icky real fast.
Yeah. It's a tough subject. It's so nuanced. And yeah, it requires a lot of prep to discuss in a real way.
Mm-hmm.
So... There Absolutely. You go, Nick. There's your butt episode where we talked about objectification.
I got two more butts. I forgot to finish my list earlier. Okay, this is actually much shorter. So, number two on the list is Ego the Living Planet, because his butt is volcanoes and he can propel himself with it.
That's impressive.
And then number one on the list is obviously Mogo, because if you think about it, like he could just be all butt. We don't really know. He could just be a giant planet butt. He's very round.
Maybe he's just one butt cheek.
Yeah, he's just one big butt cheek.
He could just be one butt cheek. That's superior right there.
The ultimate advancement in butt technology.
Yes.
One giant butt cheek.
He's the ultimate butt.
All right. I'm going to declare Jen the winner.
Woohoo!
Of this butt competition.
I didn't know we were having a competition.
I didn't know either.
What is Jen's wins. Title?
I don't know. Buttmaster?
It's like a piece of exercise equipment from the 80s.
Yes.
I would Google it, but I don't want that on my history.
No.
You don't want to Google Buttmaster?
Nope.
Go in the incognito mode.
Ooh, yeah, what is that? Control-Shift-N? Oh, yeah, it is. Let's see, Buttmaster. Is it one word or two? Let's do one word. Oh my god, it is a Buttmaster.
For real?
Suzanne's Thighmaster and Buttmaster Home Thigh Fitness Gold. God, what the hell is this long-ass name? Gold and Buttmaster. What?
What?
It's the Thighmaster Gold and the Buttmaster LBX together for the ultimate lower body home thigh fit. It is a piece of equipment from the 80s. Oh my god.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, and the ad is from the 80s. What is this?
It's a Buttmaster.
I'm putting this on our Facebook feed.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Oh, it's one of those. Okay. So it's like one of those, you know, those hand clamps that people use to build up their hand strength?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a giant version of that you put between your thighs.
Okay, I thought you were about to say, like, between your butt cheeks. Oh, okay,
That's a very
this different. Went somewhere.
That's what I would have expected to find in incognito mode.
Well, you said, like, hand clap, like, so you gotta, like, you know, squeeze it to exercise your hand.
Okay. Are we good? We're good?
That's a good episode. We're good.
If you like the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. starting this week, what I'm going to stop. So it used to be that you needed to be a patron in order to gain access to the bonus content. And because the gate for that was only a penny, and some people don't like sign up. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to make the Patreon bonus episodes free, but I'm only going to release them on Patreon. So you can just go to check out the page whenever, if it's a Thursday or Friday and an episode of this show has not come out, go to patreon.com and I will put something in the feed from now on to let you know that that's what we're going to do, and to go over there. So if you just go to patreon.com/welcometocomics and check out our site, you will get a free episode every month. You don't even have to be a patron anymore, but this is just to try to be like, just go and look and listen and check out the bonus episode. And if you like that, if you like this, sign up, become a patron. Any amount is incredibly thoughtful and helpful and very kind of you, because this is something dumb that we do for fun. Especially this episode talking about Buttmasters. So yeah, go there. Go to welcometocomics.com. We have, 299 previous episodes up over there. Go to past shows. Next week we're going to read 300 by Frank Miller. I honestly don't know what we're doing after that. We haven't really talked about it, but you know,
it's episode 300. We're
going to
read
301. Yes. Is that really a thing? That might be a thing. I don't
have
know.
No idea.
It could be a thing.
Probably not.
It could be a thing, knowing Frank Miller. 301 Strikes Back. But yeah, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, twitter.com/welcometocomics, which is basically just posts when it updates. You can follow me at Jolly Andy. I'm going to start trying posting myself. I realize I'm on like 4 podcasts now, so maybe I should just, you know, advertise my Twitter instead of trying to manage 4 different Twitter feeds. So I'm just going to do it on mine. So just twitter.com/jollyandy or at Jolly Andy, however Twitter works. I'm still figuring it out.
I don't do the Twitters anymore.
Yeah. I feel like I don't want to do the Twitters either, but it's more useful than the Facebooks for a lot of, I don't know. It's a crapshoot.
Well, it was just hard to keep up with everything in my Twitter feed. That's why I stopped using it.
Yes. I open up Twitter and it's like, you have 498 unseen things. I'm like, oh God, that's so much. And then I realize they're short and most of them are just bullshit retweets. Then you just scroll for days and then they're all gone. Anyway. If you at me, I will not just scroll past that, I promise. But yeah, that's it for the show. Go to welcometocomics.com. Past episodes, future stuff. It'll be there probably by the time you hear this episode. We'll probably have something planned out for the future. Past episode 300. But anyway, yeah, that's it for this week. Next week, episode 300, we're going to read 300 by Frank Miller. Because...